If you are interested in getting promoted, and if that is something that's a priority for you, I want you to think about it as a long-term conversation that you are continuously having with your manager and with leadership at your company leading up to your company's next promotion cycle. The way you speak about your work is going to have your audience making assumptions about the value and impact of the work that you're doing, sometimes regardless of the actual value and impact.
Welcome to The Art of Speaking Up, a podcast that helps professional women access the limitless potential that lies within them. I'm your host, Jessica Guzik, and my mission is to help you find that spark inside you that has the power to transform your career in ways you may not have thought possible. I'm so excited that you're here. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to the Art of Speaking Up podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and being here. I'm Jess. I'm a New York Times featured podcast host, and I am a coach for professional women. My work as a coach and this podcast are all about helping women elevate into leadership in corporate America and really helping you thrive at every step along the way. So if you're super ambitious, if proving to yourself that you can become a very impactful and confident leader is important to you, and if you want to develop a powerful, confident voice and communication style, you are in the perfect place. And today, I am talking about something that is so incredibly important for your professional success, and also that can be incredibly difficult. And that is the process of advocating for yourself and the work that you're doing, and really making sure that your boss and leadership at your company is fully aware of all of the value that you are creating within your company and all of the impact that you are having in the work that you do. Something that I see really, really often, and this comes up a lot when I'm working with my clients, is that they're running into a career plateau and they're having troubles breaking into that next level of leadership. And they end up feeling really frustrated because almost always when this is happening, they're also experiencing mixed signals and a lot of confusing feedback on why they are plateauing and why they aren't being offered that next leadership position. So typically, when someone is struggling, at least the women that I support, when someone is struggling to break into that next level of leadership, it is typically not a situation where there's some big, giant, obvious problem that they are told that they need to fix. In other words, it's not a situation where leadership or their manager is saying that their work quality is bad and they need a lot of improvement and they're missing a lot of skills and they're failing in their role. It's never like this blanket negative situation. It is almost always a situation where they're receiving mixed signals. They're being told that their work is really good. They're being recognized. They are getting some positive feedback, and yet they're still not breaking into that next level of leadership. And even though that's better, obviously, than getting a bunch of negative feedback, it can be crazy-making and really frustrating when you're being told that your work is good, and you're trying to diagnose then, well, then why am I not getting promoted? Why am I not being moved into the next level of leadership? And what I have found in supporting my clients and really digging deep into situations like this over and over and over is I have found that there are some subtle nuances in how you show up and speak about yourself and your work on a day-to-day basis that can really add up to having a significant impact on your reputation and therefore on your career path at your workplace. And because these are subtle shifts, they can be really hard to detect, hence the confusion that you might experience and the mixed signals you might be getting around whether or not your work is good and whether or not you're ready to be promoted. And I wanted to start to talk about this on the podcast so that you can begin to make some of these subtle tweaks that are going to help you progress faster within your organization. So in today's episode, I have a lot to cover, so we're going to see how long it takes me to get through it. But what I want to talk about today is I first want to share one really important strategic tip to keep in mind if you're interested in getting a promotion. that's going to lay the foundation for today's episode. And then I'm going to talk about a subtle shift in the way that you communicate about the work that you do that will help you break through your plateau and help you get the promotion faster. So let's start with that foundational tip that I wanted to share with you. If you are interested in getting promoted, and if that is something that's a priority for you, I want you to think about it as a long-term conversation that you are continuously having with your manager and with leadership at your company leading up to your company's next promotion cycle. The mistake that I see people make often, and I'll probably do an entire episode just on this, but for the purpose of today's episode, I'm going to cover this in a quicker, more brief way. But a mistake that I see people make often is that they wait until the promotion cycle is approaching to start thinking about the conversation with their manager and the conversations with leadership at their company. And they try to compress and condense what should be a very long and spread out conversation. They try to condense that into a very short period of time so that they can have that conversation right before the merit cycle or the promotion cycle is happening. And what I have seen is that you will have a much higher success rate in getting promoted if you are having those conversations, not just right before the promotion cycle, but throughout the year. You're having them on an ongoing basis. Otherwise, you're trying to squeeze a really big conversation into a really short period of time. Because the conversation about your promotion, about your work, about your future at your company, that's a big conversation. That's not a conversation that can fit in a short span of time. So you want to make sure that you're giving that conversation the amount of time it actually needs so that by the time the merit cycle rolls around, it's kind of like landing a plane that's ready to land. You've already established that you want the promotion. You've agreed with your boss and leadership that you're ready for it. And then it just becomes about solidifying it and getting it over the finish line rather than trying to scramble at the last minute to make it happen. So that's something that I want to share with you, which is this idea that having a continuous dialogue is always going to be far more impactful than just having one or two conversations as the merit cycle is approaching. And what I realized as I was working with more and more women who were encountering this career plateau, and as I began to understand the mechanics of why they were experiencing this career plateau, what I realized is that when it comes to advocating for yourself and getting a promotion, it's not just about you having conversations with your manager and with leadership about your readiness for the next role, but it's actually about building your reputation in parallel. And it's about making sure that when people see you and they see your work and they see you talking about your work, that they are seeing you as a leader. I almost imagine it as your audience, your stakeholders, leaders at your company, when they're watching you speak and contribute in meetings and share your work, it's as if they're wearing glasses and it's as if they're viewing you through a certain lens. And it's so important to make sure that they are viewing you through the lens of seeing you as a leader. You don't want them to be viewing you through lenses where they're just seeing you as a hard worker. And one of the ways that you get them to see you through the lens of a leader and to experience you and take you in as someone who has the qualities of a leader is you speak about your work in the same way a leader would speak about their work. So getting promoted isn't just about having conversations where you're talking about your readiness for that next promotion. Getting promoted is about presenting your ideas and your deliverables in a way that positions you as a leader and a highly valuable asset and a highly valuable contributor within your organization. And that's what today's episode is about. And the reason that I say that this can get subtle is because I think we all understand what it means to have a conversation with your manager about your next promotion. That's a very concrete, tangible thing. But I think it's a little trickier to understand how do you position yourself for a promotion when you're just sharing your work with a bunch of executives? Why is it that there can be someone at your company who is sharing their work and people are really seeing that person as having leadership potential, and then you're sharing similar quality work? and yet people aren't seeing that leadership potential in you. What is it about the way that you're speaking about the work that you do that is impacting your audience's perception of you? And how can you speak about the work that you do that has your audience perceiving you as a leader? That's what today's episode is about. And today I'm deep diving into a topic that I actually teach inside my group program, the Art of Speaking Up Academy. This is one of the most important foundations for effective communication. And the way that I'm going to teach you this topic is through an analogy. So here's the analogy. I want you to imagine that there are two people that sell apples on the side of the highway. So you know when you're driving and sometimes there's a place where you can buy strawberries or fruits. So I want you to imagine that there are two people and they're apple farmers and they sell apples on the highway. Now, one of them, let's call her Amy. I use the name Amy a lot in my analogies. Amy is a really, really good apple farmer. She puts so much effort into growing her apples and they're some of the best quality around. And she has a sign that says, apples by the dozen. And you can pull over on the side of the highway and buy apples from Amy. Okay, and then there's Beth. Beth is also an apple farmer. Beth's apples are good, but they're not quite as good as Amy's apples. Beth sells apples on the other side of the highway, so right across the highway. And Beth has a sign that says, apples, crisp, juicy, delicious, by the dozen. So to summarize and recap the differences between Amy's apple stand and Beth's apple stand, Amy's apples themselves are higher quality. However, the sign that Amy has put up just says, apples, by the dozen. Beth's apples are slightly lower quality, but her sign says, apples, crisp, juicy, delicious, by the dozen. So I want you to think about, and let's think about this together, who is going to sell more apples? Is it Amy who has better apples, but her sign just says apples by the dozen? Or is it Beth whose apples aren't as good as Amy's apples, but Beth's sign says apples, crisp, juicy, delicious, by the dozen? What I would expect to happen in a situation like this is Beth is going to sell more apples simply because Beth is taking one extra step. And instead of just letting everyone know she has apples, she is also taking an active role in selling those apples. By describing her apples as crisp, juicy, and delicious, she is selling people who are driving by and giving them just one extra reason to choose her apples over Amy's apples. Because when we hear those words, crisp, juicy, and delicious, we can start to imagine how good the apples might taste. It seems more enticing. And so we might then be drawn to Beth's apples, even though the quality of her apples might not be as solid. So I share this analogy with you to help explain a concept that I teach inside the Art of Speaking Up Academy and that is at the foundation of effective persuasive communication, particularly effective persuasive executive communication. And that is a concept that I call sell. Sell means that when we are sharing information with our audience, we are explaining something to them, we are walking them through the results of a project that we did, we are sharing a proposal with them, whatever it is. But when we are sharing information with our audience, we are going one step beyond just sharing the information itself, and we are selling the benefits of that information. So just like Beth is going one step beyond just saying, I have apples available, and she's also selling the fact that the apples are crisp, juicy, and delicious. Similarly, when you are speaking about your work, you have two options for how you can do it. You can do it like Amy, where you're just sharing like, hey, I have apples. Hey, I have this marketing proposal. Hey, I completed this project. Hey, I did this research assignment for our company. So you can just share what it is you've got, what it is you've done, or you can be more like Beth. And in addition to sharing what you've done, sharing the marketing plan, sharing the results of the research project, sharing the proposal, you can also sell the benefits of it. So instead of saying, hey, here's my marketing plan, it's, hey, here's my marketing plan. This is going to drive revenue growth. Or, hey, here are the results of a research project that I did. This is going to help us improve conversions with our customer base. Or, hey, here's a proposal I want to share with you. This is going to get us closer to our goals for the second half of the fiscal year. In those situations, you're not just saying, hey, I've got apples. You're saying, hey, I've got apples, and my apples are crisp and juicy and delicious. Now, this is really, really, really important because just like the signs on the highway are going to impact people's perception of the apples that are for sale, regardless of their actual quality, similarly, the way that you speak about your work functions like those signs on the highway. And the way you speak about your work is going to have your audience making assumptions about the value and impact of the work that you're doing, sometimes regardless of the actual value and impact. Just like people are going to buy more apples from Beth, not because her apples are better, but because her sign is better. Similarly, people are going to assume that a project or a deliverable was higher quality if it is being talked about in a more powerful way. This is why you see dynamics where you're wondering why you're working really hard and doing great work, but maybe someone who isn't working as hard is having better results in your company. Now, this is not the only reason companies can be super unfair, and there's a lot of dynamics at play, but this is one reason why that can be happening. And what can make the situation even more confusing is that you're going to get mixed signals that are going to make it hard for you to understand why this is happening. So let's go back to the apples analogy. Amy will sell some apples, even though her apple sign isn't as compelling. Some people will choose to buy from Amy for whatever reason. And when those people choose to buy from Amy and they try her apples and they see how amazing her apples are, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Amy, these apples are incredible. So Amy is going to get some validation and is going to see that people like her apples, and yet she's going to watch as Beth does better than her every single day. This leads to the confusion, right? This is the experience of the mixed signals where people are telling you that your work is good, and yet for some reason you're not breaking through that plateau. It's because your work is good, and every once in a while people are going to glimpse it, but the problem is you need your sign to be a little bit more vivid so people consistently see the value of the work that you're doing as opposed to just experiencing it once in a while. Now, I want to take this analogy one level deeper, and I want you to think about this from the perspective of a busy leader or a busy executive at your company. So this applies to your boss, this applies to leaders and executives at your company who are exposed to you and the work that you do. They are exposed to so many different people's work streams every single day. So if an executive is like someone who's driving down the highway, it's as if the sides of the highway are basically filled with back-to-back fruit stands. There's a ton of people selling fruit on the sides of the highway. Just like for executives, they are constantly in meetings, seeing people's work in conversations, getting exposed to new initiatives at the company. They're bombarded with things. And so this is why it becomes even more important for your work to stand out. Because if someone's driving down the highway and there's all of these fruit stands and they're trying to figure out like which of these fruit stands is the best, all they have to go off of is the sign. And if your sign just says apples and it doesn't say crisp, juicy, delicious, it's going to be really hard to grab their attention. It's going to be really hard to be memorable in the eyes of that audience because they're seeing so much. There's so much coming at them. And they're not going to remember and take in every single quote-unquote fruit stand in the same exact way. They're going to remember the ones that really jump out at them. And so this is why it's so important when you are in rooms with executives and when you are sharing your work with your boss, you want to be really thoughtful that you are going beyond just sharing the basics of what it is you're working on and what it is you're creating. and you really want to think about, okay, for this project or this update or this deliverable that I'm sharing, what is my equivalent to creating a sign that says crisp, juicy, delicious? How can I make sure that when they walk away from my meeting, they not only understand what it is that I've done, but they're also really clear on why it's compelling. And so that my work and my impact is really standing out in their minds. Okay, now here's the thing about this that I want to point out that can make this really, really challenging. And I see this often. I want you to imagine that Amy, in this highway apples analogy, she finally realizes, she listens to this podcast episode and she finally realizes, oh, it's the way that I'm talking about my apples in the sign. I'm being way too humble. I'm not talking about how great they are. And she's like, awesome. I'm so excited. Tomorrow, I'm going to test out a new sign and I'm going to really describe how incredible my apples are. And so Amy spends the evening crafting a sign and she writes apples by the dozen, artisanally grown, the sweetest you'll ever taste. And it has this beautiful slogan. And she gets up in the morning and she brings out her apple stand and she puts up her sign on the highway. And all of a sudden, she's overcome with a wave of vulnerability. And she's like, oh my gosh, like, what if someone gets my apples and they are disappointed and they don't think it's the sweetest that they've ever tasted? Or what if someone sees my sign and thinks that I'm bragging? Or what if I start stealing market share from Beth and people think that I'm really selfish and greedy and people think that I have sharp elbows? And so she puts up this beautiful sign. And then just an hour later, she becomes so uncomfortable that she's like, you know what? This sign is just bringing up all my fears and insecurities. I don't want to use it. I'm just going to go with my old sign that just says apples by the dozen. And her sales don't grow as a result of that. And the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because speaking about your work in a powerful way, really owning why the work that you do is benefiting your company and why it's so incredible is something that requires not just knowledge of how to speak about your work in that way, but it also requires a really solid mindset, a really strong sense of self-confidence and self-assuredness, because you've got to have the courage to take up space and talk about how your stuff is good. And that can feel scary and exposing. But that is the path to you getting into a leadership role. And something that I often share with my clients is that being able to tolerate that discomfort and that vulnerability of putting yourself out there in that way is a sign that you can handle the bigger role. If you're having troubles handling the psychological experience of speaking about your work in a way that positions you as a leader, there's a chance then that you will also have trouble with the psychological experience of actually being in that leadership role. In other words, the vulnerability that comes with really selling the value and impact of your work can be thought of as an experience that is going to train you and help you get ready for the vulnerability that you're going to feel in a leadership role. Because the truth is, being in a leadership role does feel more vulnerable. And this is a really important thing to share, both so that you can prepare yourself for this, and also so that if you are finding yourself in a leadership role right now and you're feeling very vulnerable, you know it's not because something's wrong with you or because you've done something wrong, but actually because oftentimes leadership is inherently more vulnerable. When you're leading, you're the one putting forth ideas. You're the one generating the direction. You're the one bringing the enthusiasm. You're the one trying to get buy-in and trying to sell people on the vision. Those are all situations where you're putting yourself out there more, and putting yourself out there more can feel exposing and scary and uncomfortable, just like it can feel exposing and scary and uncomfortable to brag about your work and to get on that highway and put up a sign that talks about how freaking incredible your apples are. But the wonderful thing is, you get to decide if you're up for that challenge or not, and you get to decide if you want to expand your capacity to experience vulnerability and discomfort. Because the really cool thing about this is that we can learn to navigate that experience. Just because something's uncomfortable, just because it feels hard, just because it stretches us, doesn't mean that we're not capable of handling it. And when we choose to face it anyway, we get stronger. It's just like being willing to go to the gym and get super, super sore so that you can get physically stronger. When you're willing to just face the discomfort and feel it and experience it, your confidence grows and you get better and better at putting yourself out there and stepping into the spotlight and really speaking about your work like a leader. So here's what I want you to think about, and here's what I want you to take away from this episode. Every time you are sharing your work, your plans, your deliverables with your boss or with an executive audience, it is an opportunity to show them why they should pull over and buy apples from your fruit stand. And I don't want you to hide or be humble at all. I want you to really feel a sense of urgency around making sure that they know the full impact of the work that you're doing and that you are very clearly communicating to them why your work is so powerful for the goal and mission of your company. And listen, if this feels edgy and scary, what I want you to think about is it's actually an act of service for them. You are helping them understand how your work serves their goals and their interests. And that's not just something that helps you, but that is something that serves them. Just like if someone is driving down the highway, if Amy does not have a sign that explains to those passengers that her apples are the best freaking apples on the planet, those people driving down the highway are going to buy apples that aren't as good because Amy didn't sell and brag about her apples. So it has an impact on your audience. And when you're actually willing to be honest and truthful about how powerful your work is, all of the brilliance that went into it, all of the incredible outcomes that it is driving for your company, when you're able to be honest about those things, then your audience is fully informed. They get to see the real truth of what you're doing. So think about it as an act of service to your audience to be willing to connect the dots for them and to be willing to make it so crystal clear to them how your work is helping them meet their business objectives. When you learn to do this and speak about your work this way, your career trajectory is going to permanently change. I didn't even realize that I was doing this. It was just the natural way that I presented information. And as I worked with more and more clients and helped them build PowerPoint presentations and taught them how to speak about their work, I realized that when you're able to highlight what your work is doing for your audience and how it's helping them, it has an enormous impact on how they perceive you. So next time you are prepping for that meeting or prepping for that conversation, I really want you to think about what does my audience need to know in terms of how this is helping them? Why is this great for them? Why should they be excited about this? How is this helping us all move towards a greater vision? This is a really big and important topic. So I am certain that I will be recording more podcast episodes on this. But for now, I just want you to pause every time you have the opportunity to share information and think about, am I sharing this information like Amy, where I'm just saying apples by the dozen? Or am I sharing this information more like Beth, where I'm saying apples, crisp, juicy, delicious by the dozen? And just make sure that you are highlighting the magic and the power and the benefits of the work that you're doing. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. It is such an honor to have you listening. And if you're hearing this episode and you're realizing that this is an area that you want to go deeper into, you want to strengthen your mindset so you're not afraid of taking up space and speaking about your work super powerfully, and you also want to learn how to speak about your work super powerfully, this is something I dive really deeply into in my group program, The Art of Speaking Up Academy. And you can learn all about that program and add yourself to the waitlist by heading to jessguzzickcoaching.com/academy. or by clicking the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.